Hey, love buddies.
Welcome back to another episode of the Wedded Podcast with your hosts, Jen and Steve Van Elk.
We're a semi-professional look at wedding planning and marriage, and we're married.
That we are. Basically, we're going to help you get together and hopefully stay together, just like we have so far.
Woot woot. High five.
You're not mad at me for saying so far?
No, I mean, it's realistic. So I wanted to talk to you about something that happened at a wedding I was shooting a couple of weekends ago.
Really?
Yeah. So I got on the dance floor and kind of mingled with the guests like I typically do because I want to get some good action shots on the dance floor. And in the middle of my shot, while I'm trying to take a picture of the bride's parents, a relative grabbed my camera.
I'm so sorry. I know I shouldn't grab your camera, but you know me, I see a shiny object and I just got to get hold of it.
And I didn't know you were related to the couple. That was crazy.
I thought you meant one of your relatives, not the bride and groom's relatives. Got it.
Anyway, the guy was so incredibly drunk. I don't even think he realized what he was doing, but he grabbed my hand and started to shake my camera. This caused my flash to come loose. And at one point in time of me shooting, my flash fell off my camera because I was unaware of this. I was very pissed off. Typically, I'm I kind of tiptoe around situations. Like if something seems to be going ill during the wedding day, I'm going to try to be the positive side. But this was way over the line. And if someone's going to be touching me or my equipment.
No one's going to be touching your equipment if I'm there.
But you weren't. So I had to fend for myself. I was incredibly upset. And I let the guy know that you don't touch my stuff. But this actually happens quite often. I mean, I've never had it happen to me, but I've had other people say that they've had guests try to touch their camera or try to take a picture. That's not true.
We've been at a wedding where guests of the wedding went behind the DJ's sound booth, grabbed his microphone and started singing into it and spilled beer all over the soundboard. So we've had quite a few instances like that as well with other vendors where guests try to do something that they just think they're having a good time. And what they're doing is they're keeping the vendors from getting their job done.
So that leads us into the talk of how to not be a shitty guest.
You have to clean that one up. I can't put a curse word in the title of the episode.
You can't put a money sign.
I've done that before with my other podcast. That's explicit.
Oh, bummer. Okay. We'll go to the positive side then. How to be a good wedding guest. Is that better?
How to not be a piss terrible wedding guest. Is that good?
How to not be a bloody mess of a guest.
Bloody hell.
Bloody.
I think we already touched on probably the most important thing, which is don't get super drunk, right?
But let's go back. Let's go from the very beginning, from the point in time of when you show up.
I don't think you understand. If I'm a guest at a wedding, I'm super drunk all day.
Okay. Well, if you're not Steven Van Elk, let's start off with, when is the appropriate time to arrive to a wedding?
Oh, this is why right before we recorded, you were like, do you need some time to think about your answers? You didn't send me the questions though, Jennifer.
Oh, I'm coming up the questions right off the top of my skull, baby.
I believe the correct time to show up if you are a guest is 30 minutes early. 15.
Honestly, I think that's a great answer. I would say don't show up unless you're immediate family or very close family members. Don't assume that you're a close family member. You have to ask yourself, am I a close family member? No, you are not a close family member because you have to ask that question to yourself.
And Aunt Margaret, I know you've never stopped to question yourself, but you're not a close family member.
30 minutes is a good place to start. That gives you enough time to get seated, to talk to people. Once you're rolling in 10 minutes before the wedding, you don't really have that time to sit around and chat with guests. You need to get to your seat. So I usually say in between 15 to 30 minutes before the wedding. And that is, really even pushing it. The guests who are rolling in 5 minutes are already late. Because you have the wedding party standing outside. If it's an outdoor wedding, you're tracking all the way through and people are watching. It's just uncomfortable.
If you show up 5 minutes before the wedding to an outdoor wedding, you will not get to the location of the ceremony until 5 minutes after it starts, typically. Because outdoor weddings typically don't have a parking lot right next to where the ceremony takes place. It's usually a bit of a hike.
Also, you don't want to arrive too early. You've got to consider that a lot of wedding parties, family members, brides and grooms are doing photos before the wedding. You're going to see a lot of photographers going into 45 minutes before the wedding, sometimes trying to wrap up some things that ran late, whether it be their fault or another vendor's fault or just the people running late in general. That can cause a lot of stress on the couple showing up too early, because then they assume they don't have their watches on them. They don't have their phones on them. They're assuming that they're running incredibly late. So showing up 30 minutes is an appropriate time. Showing up an hour before, unless you are a grandparent or immediate family member, it's a little too much.
I know it's a general rule, because a lot of times we are spending time with the ushers and the groomsmen who are going to be ushers, that they will start seating guests 45 minutes before the wedding. And all I can ever think when I hear that is, who wants to be stuck in a seat for 45 minutes before the wedding starts?
Oh, those people that want that VIP seating.
I cannot understand that. So I got a question for you. You said not to show up too early. What if I'm driving from a little ways away and I don't want to wear my wedding clothes on the way there? I can't show up early and change?
No.
People can't see your murder eyes, so you have to say, "I'm going to murder you," so they know.
No, if you're driving 2 hours away, there's nothing I can think of that you would be wearing that you cannot be in a car. If you are just absolutely cannot wait and you cannot wear your clothes because you're worried about them getting wrinkled or whatever it is, find a rest stop, find a place to change. There's plenty of places you can stop and get changed, but do not do it at the wedding venue. Again, unless you are a part of the wedding.
So don't go inside the wedding venue to change. So I'm in the parking lot. Take my pants off right out there. Throw my slacks on. Is that good?
Only if you're Stephen Van Elk. You get permission. I hope that we never have to tell people that you probably shouldn't do that. I'm sure there are people that have, but don't go into the venue. I think it just causes the couple so much stress.
The last wedding we were guests at was my cousin's wedding. He got married up in Grand Rapids, and we showed up about 45 minutes early, and we just went to Chick-fil-A with the kids and just hung out for like 15 minutes until we felt like it was a good time to go. And while we were at Chick-fil-A, it was like a 3.5 hour drive to get there. So we had worn more comfortable clothes. So we went into Chick-fil-A, we changed, we let the kids play for a little bit. Then we went to the wedding. Is that acceptable? Changing in a restroom at a fast food restaurant.
Absolutely. But we changed in the hotel room.
Oh, we got in the hotel room?
Yeah.
Why did I change at Chick-fil-A? I changed at Chick-fil-A. I didn't get into the hotel room till after the wedding. What are you talking about?
All right. Well, let's lead into the ceremony itself. I think this has been addressed by quite a few wedding vendors as well as couples themselves. Unplugged weddings are a huge tradition right now where people are picking that up.
Trend. I don't think I'd call it a tradition.
Yeah, you're right. It's not a tradition yet, but I really hope that it does become one, because from experience, if you are constantly behind a camera or a phone, you don't actually experience it. I, as a photographer, can tell you that even though I'm there the entire day, I'm there longer than most people that are going to be at the wedding, I really don't remember it, not the same way as everyone else does. So if you can be present, that is the best present you can give to the couple and yourself.
I'm just going to say this right now. I'm getting older every single day, and I cannot remember a single thing about my cousin's wedding where we did not do any work. We did not have phones. We did not have anything on us. We were present, and I don't remember anything. I would love to have taken a video or something to remember that by.
It's because personally, we had two kids on our laps. That's the reason why. And then we had nieces and nephews as well that were close by.
So I'm a little different than most other wedding vendors because I think it's fine if you have a camera or a phone or a video, whatever. Just don't get in the aisle. Don't get in anybody's way. Try to be as discreet as possible with it, right? Can we agree on that?
No, I completely agree. If it's something that you feel like, don't take a photo to post to Instagram just to prove to people that you're doing something. Don't do it during the ceremony. If you're going to take that post, do it during the reception. But when you are doing it during the ceremony, it's disruptive. It also gets in their photos. Now, if you're just wanting it because this is your favorite cousin in the world or one of your best friends, whatever it is, and you really genuinely want a picture, just think of it as this. Is this a picture or a video that I'm going to either watch again and not just post, or is it a picture that I would even be willing to print to put in an album or on my walls? If it's not, if the answer is no, that it's not worth taking it.
So what I hear you saying is I'm allowed to start bringing a 10-foot crane into every single wedding we go into as guests so that I can create videos that people want to watch again.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. It's frustrating to me because we live in a society where if you don't have a photo of it, then there's no proof that you actually did it. And I know people are excited about their family and friends getting married. I think that's wonderful. But if you are just posting a picture of the bride coming down the aisle just so you can post it on social media in some way, then it's really not worth it. You're ruining their photos, their professional photos, and you're not present. There's just so much that goes into it. There's photos out there of photographers that have shared guests standing in the aisle trying to get the picture of the bride walking down the aisle, and the groom can't even see the bride coming down the aisle. That is getting a little ridiculous.
They need a good pick to put on their BlackBerry. Moto Razor.
It was like, does BlackBerry still exist? Okay, I see.
They got
what you're
a flip phone. A flip phone.
I love it when, and it's typically the people who are 50 years and older holding up iPads and taking pictures with those actually doesn't bother me so much because I think it's so ridiculous.
If we ever were at a wedding where every guest had an iPad, my dream would be to take a picture from the front with all of them with their iPads up in front of their faces.
Where it kind of looks like a screen of just the...
Yeah, that would be so beautiful. A sea of iPads watching this wedding.
It honestly, as a photographer, does not bother me to get phones and cameras and people standing up and getting pictures. It bothers me when everyone's doing it and getting in the aisles and going up to the stage and going like moving around so much that it's disruptive to the ceremony. If you want to snap a picture, just do it discreetly. I think it's a special moment and they don't want to remember it by someone trying to get out of their seat and tripping over their feet. Well, maybe they do. I would say that that's not the one thing that they want everyone to take away from their wedding ceremony. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. But I think we've lingered for a very long time now in the ceremony. And I think everybody wants to get to the good stuff, which is to say the alcohol.
Open
and
bar.
Yeah. So bar. When there is an open bar, do you have to tip? I guess is a question. Do you have to tip the bartenders? What's the good guess thing to do?
I mean, the good guess thing to do is, first of all, have your ID on you, especially if you are a little bit younger. Having your ID on you will help. There's going to be a lot of actual good bartenders who are going to be checking. And after a while, they're going to know, depending on how many drinks you have. You don't have to check every single time. Of course, they want everyone to have fun, but if for some reason someone gets hurt, they're liable. So they want to make sure that everyone's safe.
Now, if you are a bride or a groom who's getting married and you're thinking to yourself, the venue said we could bring our own alcohol in, I would recommend hiring a bartender so that you're not responsible for people over drinking. Because the bartender's supposed to cut them off and you don't have to worry about it all night long. That's just a little side note.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just hire a bartender.
Jumping away from the whole what makes a good guest and bad guest.
Okay, well, after that tangent and actually answering the question that you had, I really think that bartenders should be tipped. Now, tipping them in the way that you, especially if you have a mixed drink that is being made. I'm sure that there are going to be people that disagree with me, but when you're pouring a glass of wine or pouring a beer, Yes, it's a service, but it's not, unless you're getting like several of those, I really don't think it's a case for a tip. But when they're actually using their art to create a mixed drink, I think it should be tipped because it is an art.
Now, for listeners who aren't from the US or from Canada, tipping is not necessarily a thing in your country. So don't tip, I guess, if that's a societal
norm. If it's not a tip, like if you don't tip, if they don't have a tip jar, don't tip.
Yeah, that's another thing. You shouldn't be trying to tip if there's not a tip jar, because if there's not a tip jar, usually what that means is the bride and groom paid money so that there wouldn't be a tip jar. Yes. And they paid an exorbitant amount of money because they didn't want their guests to have to worry about that.
Absolutely.
But if there is a tip jar, slide a dollar in every time you get a drink. Minimum. My thoughts.
And let's continue with the talk about the bar. Anytime you hear open bar, it brings joy to my heart. I don't know if it brings joy to your heart, but
it brings a bullfrog of joy to my heart. You know what I'm saying?
But here's the thing. If you don't want to be a asshole guest, then don't try to drink as much as you possibly can. Because what typically ends up is people doing crazy things that ruins the wedding.
Now, let's get circuitous with this. What if you were a guest and you weren't trying to be an asshole?
Yeah.
But you did accidentally drink too much. But you're still at that point where you're cognizant of the fact that you drank too much. What do you do?
Let someone know that you've gone with that you drink too much, especially if you are going to be driving home. The one thing that guests really, or the wedding party, the wedding, the bride and groom are really going to want is that all of the guests get home safely. In situations where there is an open bar and a lot of drinking, most cases, if you're in a city, there's hotels nearby. A lot of venues will allow overnight parking, but letting people know like, hey, I really want to have a good time and I'm going to continue to drink, but I really, you know, here's my keys. I'm going to get an Uber back to the hotel, or I'm going to get an Uber to a hotel after this event is over. Talking to someone who's responsible and not drunk themselves. I think that's incredibly important. You can have a good time. Just do it safely.
Also, don't take that person's keys, though, if like you're not going to be there the next day to give them their keys back. Like,
well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'll take your keys. I'm actually flying back to California tonight, so guess I'll mail them to you.
I think something you should keep in mind, I think a lot of times people are, like I said, like people think open bar, I'm going to try to drink as much as I can possibly drink. I think you should have a number in mind. I think it should be a max. I know that with a 4-hour period of time, I'm typically okay with 3 drinks. Now, if I'm going to be walking back to the hotel, maybe I could do 5. Like if I'm just going to be walking. Of course, don't try to drink all of those in one sitting.
That's how you get blacked out real fast. So then you don't have to worry about your actions the rest of the night because you don't remember them anyway.
Most open bars happen during the cocktail hour and during the reception. Mm-hmm. So make sure you grab a drink, get your drink for the cocktail hour. And then at the end of the cocktail hour, grab another one because more than likely the bar is going to be closed during dinner time. You'll have your drink. And then once you finish that drink, the bar will be open again. Don't try to pound them during cocktail hour. You're going to have plenty of time if it is your goal to get intoxicated. You'll have plenty of time to get there. Don't go overboard because I see this way too often. People drink so much either before the ceremony or in between the ceremony and the reception that the reception is just absolutely wild and not in a good way. People are breaking glasses in the middle of the dance floor. So people are constantly being cleared out. People start doing silly things like throwing their glasses in the toilet or trying to grab people's or vendors' equipment. I had someone try to dance with one of my light poles for my flash, my light stands, which if that breaks, that's nearly, $500-$600.
The flash and the trigger, not the flash stand. I mean, flash stand's not cheap, it's very cheap, but it's much cheaper compared to the flash. And
yeah.
The
just is those sorts of things that you can, I mean, like the story that we shared with Jillian, a 25 person fist fight is what is remembered by that wedding, not this, beautiful day.
I mean, as I called back to her story earlier, I think what most people remember is that great bullfrog drink. So I don't know if people made it to the fist fight part because they probably heard her explain what a bullfrog was.
They shut the podcast off, right off.
Went, made a bullfrog, yeah, and then blacked out and listened to the rest of the podcast. Then they woke up in jail.
So a lot of things that you should take an account, even if you don't drink too much. This usually happens when guests do drink too much, but if you don't, this is still important. Do not touch vendors' equipment. Do not touch the DJ stand. Do not touch the microphone unless you ask for permission. Do not touch things that go to the photo booth that are not props, that are not supposed to be touched. Don't grab centerpieces and move things around. This is how things catch fire. Like, there's just so many things that people tend to do. It's like if they walk into a wedding, it's kind of like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and they start licking the wallpaper. Like, this should not be happening. Like, you should not be grabbing people's camera. You should not.
You promised you wouldn't bring up the time I licked the wallpaper. I wanted to see if it tasted like schnozberries.
Do not grab bottles of vodka. Don't touch the alcohol. That is the one thing that I hear from caterers, that I hear from bartenders, that frustrates the hell out of them, because legally you're not allowed to be touching the alcohol, first of all. Plus, you can't just take a bottle of vodka to your table and, you know, start pouring shots. The venue is held liable for those, for service. And so for legal reasons, they cannot let you start serving other people or yourself.
Jen, I got some spitfire.
Bring it at me.
Fireball questions for you. If I'm a guest, is it okay to light napkins or programs on fire?
Are we experiencing apocalypse? Do we have heat in the building?
These are supposed to be yes, no answers.
This is a gray area.
This is not a gray area. Is it cool to set stuff on fire? This happens all the time at weddings.
Yes, and absolutely not. Why would you? Okay, you have to ask yourself this.
We're talking about how not to be a terrible guest here, Jen. We cannot assume people know. We've seen so many people do these things.
Do you go into a restaurant and if there is a candle on the table, do you light things on fire? No, then no.
If you get a bunch of bottles of beer, is it cool to build a pyramid on your table with the bottles of beer?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Okay. Should you do that, though, knowing somebody else has to pick that up?
Okay, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to have a stick up my ass. They can build a pyramid if they want. That's not really... Okay, come on.
With a bunch of half-drank bottles of beer.
You know the catering team's going to pick that up, like, immediately.
Seen it happen at multiple weddings we've shot as well. Jen, is it cool to take your shoes off and go dancing?
You are taking a chance of stepping on one of the broken glasses, because it just happens almost every wedding where several people drop glasses of alcohol.
That's right. She did say several people. She didn't say one person. It's several people.
It's several. And it's so hard to pick up that. I mean, you know, when we drop stuff in the kitchen, we end up finding glass at some point in time, typically in your foot.
Typically in my foot, right before we are supposed to leave to go shoot a wedding, and I have to pull it out. And it's terrible.
This has happened twice.
Yeah.
So can you imagine in a dark venue trying to clean up all the glass? No, there's a chance that you're going to get cut. But that's a lot of times, I think that people are starting to realize this and they bring a second pair of shoes. I've seen more recently the couple bringing flip-flops for people to put on their feet while they're dancing so they don't have to wear their heels. But I would say don't rely on them. Bring your own shoes if you feel like you cannot wear these heels on the dance floor or your driving loafers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next one. In the photo booth, is it cool to kiss the camera?
Gross. Because you know so many other people have, and they don't actually sanitize that vein. They might like wipe it off. They're not going to sanitize it.
In the photo booth, is it okay to take your clothes off?
If you want to party.
Gonna need a more definitive answer. The listeners need to know.
If you want to take your clothes off, just know those photos are not your photos. And honestly, they're not even technically the bride and groom's photos either. The photo booth company actually owns the rights to the photos. So if you are naked in that photo booth, those naked photos are the rights to the photo booth company. They can utilize those in any way that they want to. Also, the bride and groom will have a copy of those photos. So
blackmail, I believe, was what that's called.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people are more confident than others. More power to you. But I would recommend not getting naked in the photo booth just because I think you'll end up regretting it. What if your little grandson Johnny finds the photo of grandpa getting naked in the photo booth? It's gonna scar him for life.
He'll know he has a cool ass grandpa. Now let's flip the script on this. At a nudist wedding, is it okay to just randomly put your clothes on?
Love is love, Stephen.
Is it okay as a gentleman, take that jacket off, pop that vest off, roll those sleeves up, let that tie down?
At what point in time in the wedding?
Reception.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Is it okay in the ceremony?
I've seen people change clothes, and that, I think, is completely fine.
You're a groomsman. You're standing at the front with the rest of the groomsmen and the groom. The bride and groom are doing their vows, but you feel a little bit hot. Now, can you take the jacket off?
Are you about to faint?
I can't make that decision for anybody else. It's a medical thing, so I don't know. Maybe. Maybe you feel like you could get away with saying
you're
about to faint. For me,
almost everything is a maybe, because there's always something that could possibly be okay.
I ran through my whole list there of really, really stupid things. I think I'm out.
Is it okay if you are a part of the wedding party, mm-hmm. to touch, grab, or kiss any of the vendors?
Is it okay if you're just anyone to ever kiss, grab, or touch somebody without their consent? Oh, no, it is not. So by extension, no, if you're a wedding party member, you're not allowed to kiss, grab, or touch one of the vendors without their consent. Now, if you're a groomsman and your wife is the photographer, yeah, maybe it's okay in that circumstance to kiss, but she should still know about it ahead of time because she's still trying to be a professional shooting the wedding. You don't want to undermine her all day. All right. That's going to do it for us this week at the Wedded Podcast. Jen, where can listeners go to find us?
Well, you can find us on most social media platforms at Wedded Pod. And you can also find us at weddedpod.com if you want to hear a little bit more about Jen and Steve, the marriage semi-pro gurus.
Not good enough to make it as pros.
And never will.
Didn't make it to the majors.
It's okay. I know my place. So yeah, if you want to hear a little bit more about us, you can find us there. You can also find me personally on Instagram at Jen Van Elk Photo. And where can they find you, Stephen?
At Stephen Van Elk.
Stephen Van Elk.
And we are trying to build a community of people who see the humor in wedding planning, still want to get that shit done, though. If you want to join that group, we are on Facebook at the Love Buddies Wedded Podcast group. I changed the name.
Oh, gosh.
We needed Love Buddies in there, Jen.
Oh, my gosh.
And you can't change it back for 45 days.
The bane of my existence.
I didn't realize this until right after I changed the name, and I was like, I bet there's some sort of weird fetish community around the word love buddies.
Possibly.
The weird fetishes, people who really love Jen Van Elk's sultry tones on the microphone. All right, I think that's everything. So thanks for listening to another episode of Wedded, and goodbye. I love you, babe.
I love you too.